Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Happy Monday. Let's do it.
Let's make there to get us started with. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdal. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make the day make sense.
And I am Kimberly Adams. Thank you for joining us on this Monday. Today, we are going to do the usual. We're going to dive into some of the stories of the day slash weekend, or what you might have missed over the long holiday. Because, yeah, we were gone for a couple days extra. Then we'll talk about a story or two that made us smile. So, first of all, how was your holiday or days off, Kai?
It was very nice. It was very nice. We had all four kids in the house for the first time in a very long time, so it was kind of crowded, but it was great. Aww. It was great. What about you?
Yeah, it was nice. It was good. I actually chilled quite a bit. I stayed in town, and it was actually kind of glorious to not have to cook anything or clean up anything mm-hmm. and just do a real chill Thanksgiving. Because, I mean, like, I'm, as you know, I do holidays quite extensively. I'm that person who has in her life made a turducken, like for real.
Oh my God. Have you really? We actually talked about that.
I have. Yeah. Years and years ago. This year I was just like, you know what? No, I'm just going to chill and relax. It was great. I did go for a 10-mile hike though, which made me feel very good about
myself.
Good
for you. Good for you. You worked it all off.
I still hurt, but that's okay. What are your news fixes? Let's talk about the news.
All right, so the one is a global story, and I know sort of when we started doing these news fixes long, long ago, it was, you know, stories that were getting drowned out because of all the pandemic coverage. But I really need to make sure that everybody doesn't sleep on these protests going on in China.
Oh, yeah.
Not just for what they mean domestically with the Chinese, and we'll see what kind of response the government has over the weekend, right? Because it's coming. It's just a question of when and in what magnitude. But also what it means for the global economy, because forget stocks today, right? Stocks were cranky today because, oh my goodness, what if? But look, the Chinese zero COVID policy and those continued unpredictable and extremely harsh lockdowns are actually jamming up the Chinese economy domestically, but also internationally. And so it's worth keeping an eye on what's going to happen as Xi Jinping responds to these protests and what that means. Because, look, it's the second biggest economy in the world, and you can't just not pay attention to it. And that's what we got to do. That's just,
and it's not just jamming up the economy. It's jamming up people's lives. People's lives are put on standstill. I mean, and I think one of the triggers was that there was a fire and some people were trapped inside of a building. Mm-hmm. And the allegations were that they were stuck in there because of a COVID lockdown. Some of the people who died. I cannot recommend enough that you all go and check out our colleague Jennifer Pack's coverage of mm-hmm. what these lockdowns are really like, what the zero COVID policy is like, and also her Instagram, because she's been covering these protests from Shanghai and has been talking to people on the street. And so you can really get a beat on what's happening.
Her handle on Instagram, which is really the place to get it, is JPAK Radio, J-P-A-K Radio on Instagram. And she's great there. She's great there. And if you've been following her for a while, you know she's done the whole lockdown thing with the hotels and food and all this jazz. And she was out on the streets yesterday and over the weekend. And there's some, it's just wild. Just wild. Story number two, I'm going to use up my self-imposed weekly quota of Elon Musk stories on a Monday because I don't want to pay attention to it, but it's such a train wreck that you can't not pay attention to it. So here's the deal. Musk tweeted out today that Apple says it's going to stop advertising on Twitter and won't tell us why. So number one, This really matters for Twitter because in the first quarter, Apple spent almost $50 million advertising. It's about 4% of the company's revenue. And if you're in as bad a jam as Elon Musk is trying to run Twitter and service all that debt, $50 million is real money. So that's item number one. Item number two is, gosh, Elon Musk, richest man in the world and often hailed as a genius. Could it be because you've taken off all of the guardrails? And now the racists and the misogynists and the deniers and you name it are back. Could that be why? Sorry, that was my Monday Elon Musk rant. God.
We have a conversation coming up on tech. I believe it's tomorrow. Maybe. Yeah, I think it's tomorrow. Where we were talking about, you know, some of the changes at Twitter and how it's affecting sex workers and their ability to use that platform. But one of the things that came up in our research was this report from Media Matters for America, which found that 50 of the top 100 advertisers on Twitter have already left the platform or are just, they haven't announced that they're leaving, but they're just not, they don't seem to be advertising anymore. And so, yeah, that thing, that place is hemorrhaging money, and it wasn't exactly super profitable you know, before Musk bought it. And now there are reports that they didn't make payroll in some offices in Europe. Did you see that?
No, I missed that. What happened?
That they didn't pay people, and so they're still trying to catch up, I guess. That some of the offices in Europe, people just didn't get paid, and they may have been made good by now, but that kind of stuff is not exactly how you want to be running a major international platform, to put it mildly.
Be running a mom and pop. I mean, come on.
But anyway, I can't help but notice that both of our make me smiles come from Twitter.
Oh, I know.
Anyway, but before we get to that, my news fixes is this really fascinating story in the New York Times about public lands in this country and who gets to access them. And I'm not talking about your Yellowstones or your, you know, National Mall here in D.C. or the parks that everybody can get into, but all of this land that is owned by the federal government, that is technically public land, that is either blocked off or bounded by or difficult to access except through or sometimes squeezing just by private property. And with a bunch of new apps, and one app in particular that they highlight in this New York Times story called Onyx, people now can really see where these property lines are and exactly what portions are public and what portions are private. And this matters a lot to people who are hunting or outdoors people who maybe just want to hike or trek or dirt bike or whatever. And in Wyoming, there's this huge fight happening over whether or not if you have property, like imagine a checkerboard, right? And one square is owned by somebody who's private, and the next square is owned by the government. Another square, private, another square, government. You can stay on public property by basically diagonally going from one parcel to another, but you're basically threading a needle in between somebody's two corners of their private land. Right. And so these private landowners don't want people doing that, and they're saying it's trespassing, even though it's public lands. And there are all these court fights and lawsuits and fines and things like that, but it's highlighting all of these places where people should have the right to access certain places, but they don't. And when I posted it in Slack today, people were talking about how, you know, this is happening in Puerto Rico with beaches. This is happening in Hawaii, again, with beaches or with, you know, rainforests and things. Or in California, I think it's happening as well, where you have private property sort of blocking public access to public property. And this was a really interesting look at it.
Totally fascinating. Yeah, it's big. It's big with beaches out here, actually. That's the big, the big brouhaha. The very big brouhaha. Yeah.
Right, because you have these super expensive beachfront properties and they want their private beach, but it's not their beach.
Exactly.
But I mean, exactly. I even know people around here who have, you know, property that backs up against a state park, and mm-hmm. they don't own the state park, but you can't really get to it except through somebody's backyard. And so what do you right. do? Yep. All right. My other story is a Supreme Court case that is coming up. The decision is expected this spring. I believe the arguments have already happened. But it's about whether or not people who have had their Medicaid benefits denied can basically take their states or, you know, states or local governments to court saying that they were unfairly denied federal benefits. So this could, and I'm reading from this story in Stateline, the court's decision expected in the spring could have profound effects for tens of millions of beneficiaries of federal safety net programs, including those that provide health care, housing, education services, and heating aid. If the court rules against the estate of Talveski, I believe, participants in many federal entitlement programs could lose the right to go to court when they believe a state, city, or county has violated their rights in the administration of those programs. So if somebody was denied Medicaid benefits, or a child with disabilities wasn't screened for lead poisoning, or somebody mm-hmm. who should have qualified for food stamps but didn't get it. And this is a big deal for the federal safety net. So just wanted to flag that case for people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think we're doing a lot of flagging today, which I think is good. I think
that's it's a good thing to do on a Monday. Flags. At least not red flags.
All right.
Charles. Smiles.
Yes.
And now for our Twitter smiles.
I know, right?
Twitter is still the source of a lot
Twitter's just where I grabbed this one, but I saw it happening. I was watching Portugal-Uruguay today in the World Cup. And play stopped for what we couldn't really tell was going on. And then, of course, you realize that there's some kind of protest happening because they don't show that on the TV. And the announcer said, somebody's running across the field or whatever. So it turns out, and remember, we've talked about this before, right? Qatar, very restrictive government, and the whole thing with the beer. And we talked about all that, and LGBTQ people and all that stuff. Anyway, somebody ran across the field of this very high profile game today. Number one, holding a rainbow flag. Number two, wearing a T-shirt that on the front said, stand with Ukraine. And number three said on the back, respect for Iranian women. So this person, this guy, was doing the trifecta on, listen, I'm going to just go all out in front of a global television audience, and we're going to make these points. And I'm sure he was, I'm sounding more flip than I need to be. I'm sure he was subsequently arrested by the Qatari authorities and is now in a world of hurt. But he took a stand, and it was public, and it was kind of wild. And good for him.
There have been some reports that the Iranian national team, that their families have been hearing not great things from government officials after their protest at the World Cup.
Oh,
where they
refused
to sing the national anthem of Iran in solidarity with the protesters. So there is that.
It's a big deal.
Okay.
It's a big deal.
I guess that's kind of a smiley. Mine's super smiley.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, it's the yes. fact that this guy had that, you know, did the thing. Yeah.
Yes, that is a good thing that people are standing up. This is super techie, but I found this delightful thread on Twitter, because Twitter still has some good things, from someone named Michelle Huang, who trained an AI chatbot on her childhood journal entries. And she says, that I could engage in real-time dialogue with my inner child. So this person kept diaries for about 10 years, writing almost every day, she says, about her dreams, fears, and secrets. The content ranged from complaining about homework to the giddiness I felt from talking to my crush. Some days were very mundane, some rather insightful. And in this thread, she includes some of the exchanges that she had with this chatbot, where she was basically talking to herself as a kid. And it's really cool. Like, first of all, it tells you about the power of AI and how realistic these chatbots are. But, you know, It's sort of like, what do you think of the world? Young Michelle. I think the world is amazing and there's so much to learn and explore. I also think it's important to make a difference in the world and to be kind and understanding to others. And later on, she gives the bot a chance to ask her question. And young Michelle says, I guess I'm curious about how you turned out after all those journal entries. It sounds like you went through a lot of tough times when you were younger. Did you end up following your dreams? Are you happy with where you are in life? It's really nice. And, you know, we talk a lot about how scary AI can be, but I think this is really cool and could potentially be something that other people do to kind of do a little healing. You know? It's super cool. Some of these transcripts are wild. It's a long thread. Yeah. You should read it.
Oh, well. You want to do the other one, or are you gonna pass it?
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about the other one. Let's see. What was it? I forgot. Oh, yes. Of course. Decorations. Holiday decorations. White House holiday decorations are up, and I just always think it's nice when they don't look scary as they have sometimes in the past. But this year... don't look scary. The theme this year is We the People, which was chosen by the First Lady. And one of the really cool things is there's a tree decorated with self-portraits done by students of the 2021 Teachers of the Year from across the country. That was pretty cool. That made me smile.
That is very cool. That is very cool. That's a good smile.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it for us for today. Tomorrow, we're going to do tech on the Tuesday show. Lots of growth over the past couple of years in tech, as you know. Now lots of layoffs, more than 100,000 or so if you add them all up. So we're going to talk about what's driving those cutbacks and what it's going to mean for the wider economy and where things might go from here. So tune in.
Yes, tune in, please do. And before we go, it is also the time of year, not just for holiday decorations, but also hopefully for some giving. Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday, and it is a global day of giving to causes we care about, and we hope that we're one of them for you. If you are in a position to give, the Marketplace Investors Challenge Fund is going to match your gift twice over. So that means, because we like to do the numbers here, $25 donation becomes $75, $50 becomes $150, $100 becomes $300. It's all written down because, you know, not all of us are great at math. But as usual, the Make Me Smart listeners can get in on this match early. If you go to marketplace.org/givesmart as early as today, you can follow the link in the show notes and we will make sure that your gift is included.
Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera and Courtney Bergsicker. Today's program is engineered by Charlton Thorpe. Ellen Rolfe writes our newsletter.
Bridget Bodner is our senior producer when she's not working on Million Bazillion. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital over here. What do you think an AI chatbot of yourself as a kid would say to you?
I have no desire to talk to myself when I was a kid. oh my God.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.